Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com. I'm a curious God and his vicarious people reading the book of Job. It takes a while to read this one, 1 hour, 46 minutes, November 22nd through November 30. Go ahead and read it, read through all of it. I've read through all of it. I know there's part of it that's a lot of philosophy and a lot of nonsense even in it. I mean, the Bible is not nonsense, but some of the stuff that people say in the Bible is nonsense. And not everything in the Bible is truth that God, you know, made. Some of it's just documented of what other people said that's not truth. And so Job has some friends that even God at the end says, they did not speak well of me. They didn't speak right. But Job, my servant, did. So we're in chapter 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was blameless and upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. If you really fear God, you're going to turn away from evil. This is what God is saying about Job. And of course, it says in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, this is the fear of God is when you turn away from evil. If you don't fear God, you're not going to turn away from evil. It doesn't mean being afraid of God, but it does mean having a fear of God and putting him first and knowing that his word is always right, always true, no matter what the circumstance or situation is. The ends never justify the means. So God is speaking well of him. It says, there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, for this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one of his day, on his day, and it was sent to invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So Job was a little religious in a good sense and a bad sense, because there was no evidence that his children were cursing God in their heart. There was no evidence they were sinning. There was nothing out there. You know, they were having a drunken orgy or some kind of party. And, you know, they were just celebrating, you know, their birthdays, I guess, together. But Job is afraid they curse God in their heart. And Job is right that, you know, just because you got everything on good on the outside, just because you showing your best side to everybody doesn't mean what's going on in your heart is evil. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And Jesus is always talking about the heart, the heart, the heart, the inside of a man. So, but Job is afraid of cursing God. He's afraid of people cursing God. He's afraid of himself cursing God. In fact, that's what Satan brings up and goes on to chapter 1, verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. The Lord said to Satan, where he come through. And then he goes down to verse 8, says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Now, there's a whole lot of teaching out there that says God kind of handed Job over, you know, to Satan to be tested. And I don't agree with that, you know, 100%, you know, completely on that. But we do know that God does hand over people to the devil. Paul handed people over to the devil so that his flesh may be destroyed in hopes that he would repent in that and that his soul would be saved. There's a lot of people that have, you know, deathbed repentance and they're saved before they leave. You have the thief on the cross. He got saved before he left. And so there's that, you know, there is that. And of course, we are led to be tempted. Jesus was led into the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And after he was hungry, Satan came to tempt him. So sometimes we are led that way. But I can't imagine God handing us over to the devil when we, to be tested. And, you know, because Jesus come, you know, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God come to give life. Jesus came to life, give life and life abundantly. So there's different ways you can read this, and I've got into the Hebrew of this, and the Hebrew is talking about, you know, Job's heart and some of these words says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And you can take it that way. You've considered him, you know, he's a pretty good guy. You want to test him for me? I mean, it's not like Satan is working for God. I mean, he's on the outs. I mean, he rebelled. But he's saying, why have you considered my servant Job, is how I would translate it. Why are you looking at my servant Job? You have a lot of people that are cursing me in their heart and cursing me with their lips. You have all these people that are following you. You've taken a lot from my kingdom. So why are you looking at Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Why? There is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He doesn't belong to you, devil. He doesn't belong to you. So why are you looking at him? And then Satan answered, the Lord said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands and possessions you have increased the land? But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. So here's Satan accusing God of favoritism. Here's God, Satan accusing God of, you know, keeping, you know, Job from a lot of harshness, and I've been accused of that too. You know, people say, well, God, you're just a baby in Christ. God is keeping you safe from all the stuff that's going on in this world, but if God didn't do that, you would be bitter too. Well, that's not the case. No. And so Satan is accusing God and is accusing Job. But nevertheless, I'm not quite sure why, but God allows this trial to go on. I don't know if it's some legalistic. God upholds his word. God never usurps his own word. His word is higher, and he keeps his word. He watches over his word to perform it always. A man is only good as his word is, and God is 100% perfect, because if he says it, he's going to do it. You know, and so I don't know if there's some kind of legalistic thing here. Some people say it's because Job opened a door called, you know, fear. He was always afraid, and he certainly was. He was afraid of his kids cursing God, so he always made these, you know, these sacrifices, and you can say that's really religious, you know, walking through religion rather than having faith and so forth. But I don't know. Chapter 1, verse 20, it says, and Job rose, Job lost everything in the first chapter. He loses, you know, all his children. He loses all his dreams of his income, everything. The only thing he has is his wife and his health at this point. And Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. How many times have you worshipped? Have you ever got fired from your job? Ever been laid off? Did you go home and worship? Or did you go call a bunch of people to complain or run to the pastor to pray for you? But Job worshipped, and he said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Some people say, well, Job did charge God. He says God took away. Well, Job doesn't have an understanding at this point that there is a devil. And a lot of people don't have that in their doctrine either. A lot of people will say God is sovereign, and 100% God is sovereign. But in his sovereignty, he has given free will. And in that free will has allowed things to happen that God wouldn't have allowed if he was in complete 100% control. God is, you know, God is complete 100% control of the beginning and the end, but there are certain things that he allows us. Your sin is not only affecting you, but it's affecting everybody around you. Sometimes we get in situations, not because of what we did wrong, but because of what our parents did wrong, because of what our society did wrong, because of what our Congress and President, Prime Minister has done wrong. But here's Job. He says he worships, and he says, you know what? I didn't come anything in this world. Everything that I have belongs to God. So if God wants it back, we know what's that to me. And we're going to talk more about that here in a little bit. But in all that, this Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. So don't charge God. If you charge God for losing your job, if you charge God for, you know, doing certain things, you need to repent and ask for his forgiveness and get your doctrine right, get your love for God right. Chapter 2, down there right before verse 4, says, he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason. So this is God, because Job is, Satan has come around for round 2. And God is once again saying, why are you inciting me against Job? Which goes along with this. Why are you considering Job? He's perfect. Why don't you go bother somebody who's following you? Why don't you go bother somebody who is cursing me? And so why, how did Satan incite God? How did, you know, do that? I mean, God is, in, you know, sovereign. God is control. But there's something here that I don't know about that God, you know, allowed to happen. We go down to we're staying in chapter 2, verse 9. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one as foolish woman who shall speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So Job was afraid that, you know, his sons and daughters were going to curse God in their heart. Satan came and accused God. And don't say Satan, I mean, saying that Job is going to curse God in your heart, you take these away. Now here's Job's wife saying, curse God and die. But Job says, no, if any good relationship, you got to take the good with the bad. If it's just good, that's called fair weather friends. And God, and Job is not going to be a fair weather friend with God. He's a friend with God, and he's going to go through the good. He's going to go through the bad. He's going to go through the ugly. He's going to stick with God no matter what it is. So in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Then Job's three friends enter the picture. And the first week, they're great friends. Anybody would want some friends to come into a situation. And it says, and they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads and toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. Sometimes we need friends like that. We need to be careful we run in, especially in the charismatic circles where they, you know, think there should be no place for any sadness, there should be no place for any, you know, humility in that kind of sense. We just need to always be joyful and everything else. And certainly we need to be thanks, you know, giving thanks in all things. And Job certainly was. He worshiped God. But man, we don't always need to jump into somebody's situation and try to clean it up and try to cheer them up. Sometimes we just need to sit there with them and mourn with them. You know, mourn with those who will mourn. Weep with those who will weep. And then also rejoice with those who rejoice. So sometimes we don't need to just to rush in and try to figure out what went wrong, try to fix a situation. And I'm guilty of that, going in, trying to fix a situation, getting them back on track as soon as possible. You know, I kind of do the thing like a soldier. We're behind enemy lines. We better get up and go. And I think that is true for a lot of cases. But some cases, we just need to sit and keep quiet. Chapter 3. We'll go into chapter 3, I guess, you know, in the next video.